Hello everybody, I'm George Mind. Well, thank you for coming to my channel. This is about Sir David Attenborough, because he's 100 years young today, on biology. And I first came to know of him in the early 90s when his series, The Trials of Life, was on BBC, and it was a smash hit. People like me don't pay much attention to science, apart from animals, but yeah, it was thoroughly engrossing. And then he narrated it in his resonant voice with thrilling accents without being over dramatic, and it held the nation transfixed. He's also done The Blue Planet about the oceans, and Blue Planet 2. There was Wildlife on 1 in the early 90s, as in BBC 1. Back in those days, so only just coming in satellite television, there weren't all these channels like Discovery, which would give you a lot of nature programs. So Sir David was born in Isleworth, as middle-class suburb of West London, just north of the River Thames. And his father was an academic who later ran University College Leicester. It's now the University of Leicester, had been founded not long before. So David Attenborough had an elder brother, Richard, who was a lefty, lovey actor-director who produced that nauseating hagiography, Gandhi, in 1981. Now, it was a highly effectual piece of propaganda, but it was very misleading. Airbrushing out his sexual abuse of his nieces, his racism and so on, his insane pacifism and all the rest of it. His rejection of modern medicine. He was a bigot. It was bad news. He wasn't bad in every way. He was had his virtues. He was not the worst Indian politician of that era. But it was a marvelous piece of cinematography. It's just the political content, the dishonesty of it, that I object to. That Richard Attenborough, who was also in Jurassic Park and so on, he died about 10 years ago. But anyway, so Sir David is going strong. Right. And then his younger brother was a sort of ran a car factory. So anyway, they took Jewish children into their house in the Second World War. So he was very cosmopolitan and a humanitarian. Anyway, he was always fascinated by animals and fossils and so on. Okay, so then after the war, he went to Clare College, Cambridge, as part of Cambridge University, reading zoology and geology. So then he got his degree. He had to do national service. In those days, most boys had to do 2 years in the armed forces. He opted for the Royal Navy. He didn't go overseas, served in the United Kingdom. And there were exemptions for coal miners, the physically disabled, conscientious objectors, certain religious sects. Some of them could be excluded on the grounds they were serious criminals or homosexuals, which was regarded as a crime at the time. Anyway, so then he was editing children's science books and so on. There were very few graduates in those days. You know, about 2% of the population graduates. Very easy to get a job like that. And then he worked as a producer for BBC and so on. Okay, and producing nature programs, he rose up through the ranks on BBC, and then he'd be regarded as a national treasure since the 90s. And he's sprightly. You know, 100, he could seem like 70. And so we go on. What else? So he's also made people face up to the deleterious effect of human conduct on the animal kingdom. That things are going extinct, climate change and so on, trying to be apolitical and realizing that the animals get wiped out, not just through hunting, but through the destruction of habitat. So we must prevent the degradation of the natural world. Like the River Thames was a dead river, so declared in 1957. By the 90s, it was thriving. These things are reversible. He helped turn people around. Okay, so he's very involved with the Zoological Society of London, ZSL, commonly called London Zoo. He was close to His Royal Highness, the Prince of Wales, and so forth. He's one of the patrons of Richmond Park. I'm not sure where in Londinium he lives. And he's got other interests like Glyndebourne, the opera. And he's in favor of wind turbines. We have to have what's it called, growth. We have to have renewable energy for a growth, yeah. All right. So, and he says that the human population is a threat. Okay. Resources are limited. Okay, so we're sensible about that. But he did say things which are rather horrific, yeah? Sending food to poverty-stricken countries is crazy. What, so you let these people starve to death? And what if you're one of those hungry children? So he correctly says that women's rights is a good way to prevent us having too many children, but I hope he's not advocating for the murder of kids. Okay, so he's not religious. He says he's just not sure if God believes or not, but yeah, he certainly recognizes that evolution is true. And he's a friend of Richard Dawkins. So that's it. So he's mildly liberal left, as he said. He was a Remainer when it came to the Brexit thing, Brexit debate. He's married. Well, his wife died years ago. He had two children. So he's very likable. Hardly anyone's got a bad word to say about him. So he's been loaded with honours in the United Kingdom and overseas. One doesn't see much about, hear much about him these days. The last person who became a centenarian and it got a lot of comment was Dame Vera Lynn in, 2017. Unfortunately, she died in COVID. There'll be bluebirds over the White Cliffs of Dover. They'll force a sweetheart from the Second World War. All right. Thanks very much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate PayPal, georgecarlin790@gmail.com. Goodbye.